If you think you don't have the money to start your own business, then I have fantastic news. Now you can own a business that has proven to be a phenomenal success all around the country with very little upfront investment. We are talking Selfie Station. I am obsessed with this company. It is incredibly cool. I want one for my new house. I'm trying to talk Terry into it. The Selfie Station, it's a portable touchscreen photo booth that people and businesses book for weddings, corporate functions, trade shows, proms, promotional events, parties, and so many more other events. Selfie Station captures lifelong memories that can be emailed, texted, printed, personalized, and even uploaded to social media. I mean, you won't believe how much people will pay you to make your business the life of their party. It's the absolute easiest income you will ever earn, and it pays for itself in no time at all. You can start your own business right now. Let Selfie Station be the picture taker, icebreaker, and your moneymaker. Now, as a special introductory offer, you can get $500 off the professional package. Yep, $500 off. So go to SelfieStationPodcast.com and support my show by entering promo code WORLD. That's SelfieStationPodcast.com, promo code WORLD. This is Heather Dubrow's World, and now you can live in it for an hour every week right here on Podcast One. Oh my gosh, I have to tell you, I'm hurting today. Hi, Ray.
Hello. Why are you hurting? Because of the Abbey?
Yes. I lit the tree at the Abbey last night, and I had a little too much holiday cheer, I think. Welcome, Natalie.
Hello.
How are you feeling?
Just as bad as you.
Yeah. Natalie has a hat on.
I know.
Why is that?
Oh, I could not get up this morning.
Do you have to wash your hair every day?
Every day. I have such fine hair, so my hair gets greasy and oily, like, you know.
Me too. But you have a lot of hair.
No, I don't.
Oh, that's right. Remember you put in those pieces?
It ripped out. No, but I take your vitamins, so it helped me.
Hair, skin, and nail caps, beauty caps, they work, I got to tell you. So we were at the Abbey last night doing their annual Christmas tree lighting, and it was, first of all, so fun.
It was such a good time.
I'd never been to the Abbey before.
I know, neither had I. I mean, I had heard stories about it.
Yeah, me too, but I'd never been there before, and I thought it was an incredibly cool place. Everyone was so lovely and so welcoming. It was World AIDS Day, and it was to benefit the Elizabeth Taylor Foundation, which I thought was awesome. Because what I didn't know, what I learned about the Elizabeth Taylor Foundation, which I hadn't known previously, is that her trust underwrites 100% of the costs. So basically, every dollar they raise goes directly to people in need. I love that. I mean, I just think that's amazing. Because a lot of times when you have a charity, you spend money to make money. And in this case, I mean, when she was alive, she was an incredible humanitarian. And now, even after her death, I mean, her legacy just completely continues. I loved that. I thought that was amazing. And the event was super fun. We had a lot of holiday cheer. There was a lot of champs flowing. I like to celebrate everything. You know that about me. I mean, Terry
yes.
makes fun of me that I like to celebrate the opening of an envelope. But I do. I think it's fun. I think celebrating is so important. I think it's like fun markers to have in your life, things to look forward to. And, you know, so what's funny is I just posted a picture on Instagram of me and Terry and the kids all in our Christmas pajamas. Did you see it?
So cute. Yeah, your usual yearly pajama picture. I love that.
It's so funny. By the way, are you so surprised that Nikki will still put on the Christmas pajamas?
Forget Nikki. Terry.
Terry's you know what? It's funny. Terry's a pretty good sport. He's not weird about that kind of thing. If I ask him to do that sort of thing, he's totally game.
I love that. I feel like it's hard to find guys that do that.
Yeah, and he does it for the kids, too, because the kids love it.
It's so cute.
Especially Coco. I mean, she's, you know, just turning 5, so.
Yeah.
I can't believe she's turning 5.
She's so big.
December 13th.
I know.
With her epic unicorn Chuck E. Cheese birthday party. I've never thrown a party at Chuck E. 4 kids is my first Chuck E. Cheese birthday party.
Oh, she's going to have a blast.
Oh, she's so excited. Oh. You know, I offered to have a cleaning crew come in and clean the place before the party.
Yeah, and they declined.
They said no.
Like, sorry, we've never done that before.
Well, you know, they have those those hamster habit trail looking tunnels in the sky that the kids all crawl through. Half of them aren't wearing shoes, these kids, and they touch food in their mouths and their snotty little
ball thing with all the balls in there.
They don't have a ball thing at this one.
They don't?
No.
Oh, that one scares me.
There's no ball pit, but there's these habit trails in the sky. Who knows what is growing in those things? And then they all press their faces against the side, and it's just like a petri dish. But they said no, so I guess we'll have to
have a lot of hand sanitizer.
Yeah, we're going to have to dip everyone in bacteria, you know, antibacterial lotion when we leave. But anyway, so I posted this picture of us in our Christmas pajamas. First of all, someone had asked me why we did Snoopy pajamas this year. So I just wanted to answer that because we do a different theme every year and it's pretty random usually. I like that Pajamagram place. They have very cute sets. This is not sponsored, but I just like their site. But anyway, so it was actually Katarina's idea this year because we go to Minnesota all the time, maybe like once a month, because our products, our Consult Beauty products, sell from Evine, which broadcasts from Minnesota. So we go to Minnesota a lot. And the last time, or the time before we were there, I had brought Katarina and Coco with me. And we went to Mall of America and we went to the Water Park of America. Natalie, you were with us. That was fun. Quite an experience. But we found out that Charles M. Schulz, the creator of the Peanuts, is from Minnesota. So Katarina said, oh, we should get Snoopy pajamas this year. And I thought that was such a great idea because it was such a nod to what happened with us this year, launching our products, and now Minnesota is a part of our life. And so that's what I chose. So, of course, I put the picture on Instagram, and then the first few comments are, that's so cute, you know, family goals, really, really sweet. And then there's always those comments that are, I thought you were Jewish. Why do you have a Christmas tree? I thought you were Jewish, blah, blah, blah. And I think even in my hashtag, I wrote, we celebrate everything, hashtag Hanukkah's next week, and the whole thing. Because I celebrate everything. We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Hanukkah. We celebrate Easter. We celebrate Passover. We try to get a little bit of everything, you know, because someone made a comment that it was like they wrote bad Jew on my Instagram. And I thought, I just don't agree with that. Our rabbi, we have this very cool rabbi, Rabbi Rockless. He's on TV a lot, actually. And our temple is Reconstructionist. And he always says, I love listening to him talk. And he always says, being a good Jew isn't how many times you go to temple. Being a good Jew is being a good member of your family. It's being a good, you know, parent, sibling, aunt, you know, whatever it is, and keeping your family together and the traditions of your family together. That's what it is to be a good Jew. And I really take that to heart. So to me, creating events that are fun and family friendly and create memories, we are being good Jews. And if there happens to be, you know, a piece of foliage with lights and ornaments on it in the vicinity, right, who cares?
Right. It's the kids don't ask you about, you know, why Christmas, and you guys don't go into like the whole religious point, do you?
No, but they know that they have friends that are Christian and friends that are Catholic, and, you know, and we call ourselves Boo Jews because we believe in a lot of Buddhist principles and we talk about them at home. And they obviously know we're Jewish and we do Hanukkah and light the candles and we play dreidel. They actually, and I know people are going to ask this question, they do not get gifts for 8 nights of Hanukkah and then for Christmas also. For Hanukkah, we play dreidel games and we make latkes and we have family time and we eat and we put on music and we have fun.
So much fun.
It's really fun because I actually like the fact that Hanukkah for them is not about presents. That Hanukkah is more about the story of the 8 nights of Hanukkah and how the oil burned for 8 nights. It's more of like a fun family time rather than give me the gifts.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that we've created that for them. But I love celebrating with them. I love, love, love this time of year. I think it's so fun. So it makes me think about celebration. So one of the things that Terry and I celebrate in December, which is coming up, and we were talking about it last night on the way to the Abbey, which is why I'm thinking about it, is that the anniversary of our first date is December 7th. Okay? So it'll be 19 years on December 7th from our first date.
Wow.
Right? Our blind date. So, Terry, what did he say in the car last night? What did he call it? A romantic chore. I was like, that's romantic, honey.
Sounds like every man. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Well, you know, listen, I have been to weddings and engagement parties where they have these little signs around the date of the first kiss mm-hmm. and the first date and the first hand-holding and the first time yeah. they went to the movies. And I don't know. I mean, do people like journal when they leave a date thinking, oh, I might marry this person. Let me write all these dates down.
I think people do. I think girls do.
All right. So I don't do that. I don't actually even remember the date. I'm not judging if you do. Like I said, I'm all about celebrating. But I don't know those dates. I don't even remember the date that we got engaged. I know the date we got married, which is June 5th. And I remember the date of our blind date because it was December 7th, which was Pearl Harbor Day. So it was a day that would live in infamy. So you kind of remember that date. So Terry was saying last night, I was like, oh, our anniversary. He goes, oh, here we go. Here it is. She wants a gift. It is not about the gift. It is about, for me, I like celebrating, but I like, you know, putting markers on time and having that moment to sit down and look at each other at dinner and be like, wow, 19 years. Think about where we were 19 years ago, where we've come. It's very reflective for me. I think it's such a nice time of year to do that kind of thing. So I love it. And it's not about the gift. It's about being together. Don't you think that's important?
I really do. I mean, like you said, you know, it's kind of reflecting, you know, how far you guys have come in the relationship. And it's not about the gift. And honestly, even if he got you a card just saying, you know, how much he loved you, I feel like
I don't even need the card. Sometimes I like it better because I feel like sometimes when you have to write a card, sometimes there's pressure if you're not feeling it at the moment. And it's mm-hmm. just, I love you, you're the best. And I love when we're sitting, and it's better when it's random, but when you're sitting and you're having this reflective moment and, you know, if he looks in my eyes and says something really special, mm-hmm. that I love that.
I hope Terry's listening.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite things. But I think it's very, very important for a healthy marriage to have celebratory moments, to have communication. I'm going to tell you, not today, but maybe next week, we're going to talk about New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell everyone Terry's in my New Year's Eve tradition, which is really fun. But I think it's important to have those moments. I think it keeps your marriage healthy. It allows you to communicate, talk about, you know, what you're doing well, what you're not doing well, what you need to work on. And I think if you keep talking, things don't get piled up, so you don't have a big problem.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, you know, and speaking of which, I mean, another Hollywood couple divorcing. I mean, I just heard yesterday about Yolanda and David Foster.
I honestly didn't see that coming. I mean, granted, you know, you only see a part of their lives, but they seemed so great on TV and social media and everything. I mean, you never saw any kind of sign. I mean,
I think it's very hard. It's fun. Lisa Rinna's coming on the show in a little bit, and I can't wait to talk to her about it because I you know, I don't know if it's the reality show thing. I don't know if it's just Hollywood in general, but I feel like when couples are not together enough, it's just too hard.
Yeah.
I think when you have two actors and they're on different movie sets all the time, we were talking about this with Sarah Michelle Gellar. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you keep, you know, your unit together, your significant other, your children, your family unit? How do you keep it together when you are traveling and you are on sets and the hours are crazy? And, you know, what do you do? David Foster travels a lot, I'm sure.
Right.
He performs all over the world. He's got a lot of charitable foundations. Yolanda has three kids who two of them are now top models and traveling a lot. And mm-hmm. she's an incredible mother, very involved in her kids' lives. And so she's with them as well. It's hard to be everything to everyone and be everywhere.
Yeah.
And she's got Lyme disease. So,
right. You know, who knows what behind closed doors, what they're even going through.
Yeah. You know? Well, that, you know, I think illness really takes a toll on a relationship too. And if you don't have the solid foundation before something like that happens, it's just very difficult. I feel terrible. You know, I wish them both absolutely the best. And, you know, it's just sad.
Yeah. Good luck to them.
Yeah, I know. So let's move on to something a little happier. So Lisa Rinna's on the show today.
I know.
I'm very excited. I've known Lisa a very long time. We were in acting class together years and years and years ago. and she is the exact same person. She looks exactly the same.
She seems so spunky and fun.
She's, and what you see when you see her on Beverly Hills Housewives, that's who she is. There's really? Nothing put on about her. She's very real. That is her personality, and I love it. So I can't wait to talk to her. We have a lot to chat with her about. We want to hear about the new season of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills that just began. The super tease looks insane. It looks like it's going to be an incredible season. They have two new housewives. So I can't wait to hear all about that. So before she comes on, why don't we do our beauty tip of the week?
Yes, let's hear it.
Okay, great. So the beauty tip of the week is spray deodorant. I know that sounds ridiculous, but let me tell you. If you've ever gone somewhere and you're hot, I don't care if it's hormonal or it's so hot outside or the place is overheated and your hands are sweaty and your feet are sweaty and your nether regions can get kind of not in a cute way sweaty, this is what you do. You take a little spray deodorant and you spray it on your palms, you spray it on the soles of your feet, and you spray it in your nether region, not up inside your business. Keep your underwear on. Just spray in the area. Let's not get carried away. I don't want to get calls from gynecologists. I'm just saying, in the area with your underwear on. But you know what? That prevents chafing, and it keeps you dry. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but I've been to events. They put this really embarrassing picture of Christina Aguilera online somewhere. She was singing, and she's got this dark stuff running down her legs. I know people were saying, was it her period? But she said it was spray tan.
Yeah.
So I think what was happening was she was on stage. She was hot. She was sweating. And the spray tan was running down her legs. Totally embarrassing. Okay, that's probably not going to happen to the rest of us. But I'm just saying, I've been at a party or whatever, and all of a sudden I'm completely overheated and I feel like I'm sweating or I'm on a red carpet and you know,
your back is drenched, dripping down places. And then
and then you get like unattractive sweat marks. That doesn't work well, and that's not cute at a holiday party. So spray deodorant is the tip of the week. Just try a little bit, and then if you need more, you can reapply. But try that. Let me know what you think. And then our hippest, hottest, newest of the week is lips. Okay, the hippest, hottest, newest look of the holiday season is the matte lip. I have to tell you, I enjoy the matte lip, and I'm going to tell you why. Because if you're over the age of 24, wearing a really dark lipstick can sometimes not be great because it can start to bleed into the little lines around your mouth. And depending on how you're aging and what kind of skincare you're using, it can happen earlier than not. So I get nervous, especially if I'm going to an event where I'm going to be photographed a lot, even if it's photographed by my friends, you know, and everyone's going to have these pictures. You don't want to have like this crazy dark lipstick on and it starts bleeding into your mouth. And the other thing is you eat, you drink, and it starts coming off. And so then you have light on the inside of your lips and then it looks like you have dark liner. Ugh. And that's not cute either. So when you do this matte lip look, it's dry. So it really like stains your lips. And it doesn't come off when you eat or drink, and it doesn't bleed.
I love that.
Isn't that cool?
That is great.
So there's a bunch of different kits that you can get, but you know, you can go online and read reviews and try them and see what's in your price point. But the two that I think are kind of cool is this Lime Matte Lip, Lime, L-I-M-E. We'll post it on the website. And then Kylie Jenner's got a new kit. I mean, Kylie is famous for her lips, and she is probably the one that started the whole matte lip, and I think it's cool.
Yeah, I can't wait to try it. I'm going to definitely try it and see it.
I think it's cool. I'm going to try it too. I have to say, I have not tried it yet because I like a juicy lip. I don't know.
Like a little gloss, like a little, yeah, me too.
And I don't know if it's because I'm stuck in my ways, because sometimes we get into a makeup rut and we just do the same thing over and over. But I like, don't like dry mouth.
I usually put it in the middle because I saw tips that it makes your lips look bigger.
So that's true.
Yeah, so I do that, but not having any gloss?
Yeah, a dab of gloss. But you know what you can do instead of the dab of gloss? If you're doing the matte lip, and what Natalie's talking about is if you put a dab of gloss in the middle of your upper and lower lip, it makes them look fuller. You can achieve the same look with the matte lip with a shimmer. You just dab a shimmer on the top and the bottom lip, dry, gives you the same effect.
Look at you.
There you go. That's the hippest, hottest, newest of the week. All right, well, stay tuned because Lisa Rinna's next. I love shopping at Amazon. I literally buy 90% of everything from Amazon.com. I'm so excited that now there's a way to support my show and keep podcasting for free. You just go to my personal banner at Podcast One And you can shop just the way you always do, but a percentage will be supporting the show, and that way podcasting will stay free. Shop with Amazon and support my podcast at the same time as getting killer holiday deals. It couldn't be easier. Go to Podcast One and click on Killer Deals in the menu bar. Then select my show and you'll be directed to my Amazon banners that include my unique URL as well as the sponsors who bring you my podcast every week. Click and shop. And when you use my code, you still get all those holiday sale prices. And for all my listeners in Canada and the UK, I've got links for you too. So check it out and buy the products you already planned on purchasing. Just use my Amazon page first.
You're listening to Heather Dubrow's World.
Please welcome Lisa Rinna.
Hi, Heather Dubrow.
Hi, Lisa Rinna. We were just having a moment of love for each other where we've decided we have not aged one day and we look insanely fabulous.
We do, and it's been 17 years.
Has it really?
18 years since that acting class we took together. Ian.
Tucker.
Tucker. Yeah, because Delilah was just about maybe 6 months a year, and she's 17, so we look damn fucking good, baby.
Yes, we do. I'm not kidding. We were just having this. I was like, you haven't changed. She's like, you haven't changed. I'm like, yeah, we haven't changed.
Yeah, that's right, baby.
And you know what I really like is that Terry's eyes like get worse as he gets older. I just look better and better to
say,
him.
Say, me too. Harry, my God, he's, you know, without his glasses on, I look like a supermodel.
By the way, you are a supermodel.
Oh, please. In my dreams, I am.
You are. You're gorgeous and you always have been.
No, you are.
Okay, we love each other. You can tell. And I was also saying how, for me, when I saw you on Beverly Hills on The Housewives, I was like, that's Lisa. She's exactly who you're exactly you.
Well, and I thought the same thing about you when I saw you on OC. I was like, well, that's Heather. It's exactly Heather. And isn't that how it's supposed to be? You need to be your authentic self.
And that's what works. And I've been saying for Orange County for this last season that I think that our ratings were so high in the audience.
Like, congrats to that.
Yeah, I think the audience responded because the stories were real. Because they sort of cleaned house, got rid of people that were, you know, self-producing and all that.
And I do know that.
I know you know. So you've had some house cleaning on Beverly Hills.
We have. And I think, again, it's about authentic storytelling, but the truth. It's, if you can just tell the truth and what's really going on, deep friendship, illness, you know, divorce, obviously, all sorts of things. That's the real deal right there.
Totally. Okay, I have a million questions for you, but you just said divorce.
And addiction. Yeah. I mean, let's just add that in there, too. I mean, there's just been a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot. And especially with that Secrets Revealed episode that they did the week before the first episode of Beverly Hills this year was incredible.
I learned so much because I never watched the show. I would only watch bits and pieces of the show, to be honest with you.
Right.
And so I learned so much by watching that show. I had no real idea what the backstory was.
Between Kyle and Kim?
Between Kyle and Kim, because Kyle's so private about it. She really does not share. She was taught not to open up that part of her life and to keep it quiet, which is such a dichotomy for then being on a reality show, obviously.
It's so funny you bring that up, because what's incredible to me is that people come on a reality show thinking things aren't going to get uncovered. Because I said to Terry, because, you know, I don't know if you remember this story, but Terry signed the contracts for me to do this show. I had said no.
You're kidding. I did not know that.
No. Because none of us actors were on the reality show, on these housewife shows. And I was like, I thought it was going to kill my career. You know, I was really worried.
Of course.
So I didn't want to do it. And I said to Terry, I'm like, oh my gosh, what's TMZ going to say about me? He goes, I don't know. What have you done? I'm like, well, in high school, you know, we smoked pot. And he was like, you have to go back to high school? He's like, have you ever been arrested? Were you hookered? I'm like, no. He's like, they got nothing. But what I'm saying is, when you actually have stuff, skeletons in the closet, how do you think they're not coming out?
That's what I don't understand. Like, I think as an actor and growing up in the business as we have, so to speak, you know these things. Like, you just innately know the business. So I think people that come into it and are naive to the fact that you can hide things. Because guess what? FYI, you can't hide anything.
And no. But Kyle and Kim are in the business. That's what's so weird
to
me.
Well, you're right. But they were taught from a very early age, all three of those girls, Kathy included, to keep your dirty laundry at home and do not show any of it. I mean, that was ingrained into them by their mother, from what I understand.
Which I don't have a problem with that, but the internet pretty much killed that whole thing.
It sure did. Forget it. It's out now.
Okay, you said divorce. We have to talk about this because it just came out yesterday that Yolanda and David Foster are divorcing. And I, we were at the Abbey last night lighting the Christmas tree, and there was a red carpet, and I didn't, and I had just found out, and everyone was talking about it. And, you know, I'm incredibly sad for them. And I, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm incredibly sad for them. I'm incredibly sad for anyone that has to go through divorce. I have never gone through a divorce, but I have close friends who have gone through divorces recently. And I wouldn't wish it upon anyone, really, to be honest with you. I think it is a very, very difficult, horrible thing to go through, and especially if you have children. And luckily, their children are mostly grown. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just sad on so many levels.
Did you see any of this? Does this come up in the season or no?
It does not, no. Huh. Not at this point. What's really interesting is you're going to see as the season plays out, I can't really give a lot of it away. But, you know, I have a sixth sense about me. And if you watch the season last year, I sense things. And I sense when things are going on and that are not being talked about. And maybe we're going in one direction and not another. So you will see me sensing something going on and it's not being talked about. And I keep saying there's something going on that's not being talked about, basically.
But did you know what that was, or you were just sensing something?
I had an idea. I had some ideas. Yeah. I mean, it'll play out. You'll see it. Because, you know, I always believe, and I truly in my heart know that Yolanda Foster is ill and she does have Lyme.
Oh yeah.
That is no question.
Yeah.
But what I don't think that people think about is sometimes you have to connect your head to your heart and figure out what's going on emotionally in your life that you're not dealing with. And that is what kept going on in my mind throughout the season.
So you think that what was going on in her life was manifesting itself and making her disease worse, maybe? Because the brain's very powerful.
Possibly. I don't know. I don't want to speculate. I just kept saying to myself, and I never say it to Yolanda straight out, but I did keep thinking, she's not connecting her head to her heart. Something's going on emotionally that she's not dealing with. And I just kept thinking that.
Do you think, because everyone says there's a reality show curse on marriages.
I know.
And so.
And you and I are still married, which is so
I mean, knock
ironic,
on wood. Right? Jesus. But, and I think we've married almost the same amount. We got married in 99.
We got married in 97.
Yeah.
It's the same.
Yeah. So it's a long time, especially in this business.
It's 18 years for us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a long ass time.
It's a long ass time. I was just saying, we're having our 19-year anniversary of our blind date.
Right. Yeah. And we're at 23 almost.
That's crazy.
In January, we're going to be 23 years.
Do you know your first date?
Yeah, January 1st. January 1st will be our anniversary of our first date.
All right. Well, I'm getting off subject for a second, but now I have to know. Because do you know, like, your first kiss, your first
date? Yeah.
You do?
Oh, I know everything.
But what, did you write it down?
Well, I didn't write it down. I just remembered the times that were like, I was just getting Days of Our Lives. It was August 25th. Like, I remember that.
That's so funny.
And I'm not like Mary Lou Henner, who can remember everything. I remember nothing, but those are dates.
You need to drink more champagne.
I know. Brut, though, now I hear.
Yeah, stave off the dementia. Go on.
We have dementia in my family, obviously. So I'm going to be drinking a lot of Brut.
Yeah.
What were we saying? Oh, about Yolanda and David.
Yeah.
We're
talking about the curse.
Oh, we're talking about the curse.
The reality show curse. Here's my question.
All right.
Is it that it's a reality show? Is it just Hollywood in general?
I don't think it has anything to do with the reality show. I don't think it has anything to do with Hollywood in general. I think it, for me, it has to do with, you know, whether you're compatible, whether you put the work in, whether you spend enough time together. I mean, there's so many variables. I mean, so what, 50% of all marriages end in divorce? I don't think that you can blame it on a career, so to speak, as our career or a reality show. I think what a reality show does is whatever's going on in your life,
It polarizes it.
Like zippity-doo-dah, you cannot hide anything and it's going to come out. That is absolutely right.
I 100% agree with that. And I think a lot of times that, especially on reality shows, that you have people coming on who are trying to fix things.
Absolutely. And you think maybe how you think that's going to fix it? I'm not so sure.
It's like the 1950s, like, let's have another baby and then we'll be happy. To me, it's like that.
I guess, but I can't wrap my brain around that. Like, let's go on a reality show. I mean, to me, that it's hard enough, to be honest with you. It's hard to do a reality show. I mean, people don't really understand what it takes to do it, you know, to actually show up.
It's a job.
It's a job. It's a job. Mm-hmm. I mean, for sure.
Yeah.
And the fact that Yolanda was even able to do it as ill as she is.
Amazing.
Shocks me and has shocked me throughout the entire season because it is hard to do it.
But don't you think, I mean, I think with the reality curse on the marriages or just Hollywood in general, for me, there's two things. First of all, I think that when there's an imbalance, I hate to use these words, but like an imbalance of power, if you will.
Yeah, you can use that for sure.
If one person was more famous or one person was the head of the family and now maybe the wife is famous, you know, something like that. I think when the dynamics change and it's very public, that's very difficult for people.
I agree with you.
And I also think, and as scripted actors too.
Oh, yeah.
And I also think the other thing is what you were saying was being together. Because especially, you know, like, what do you and Harry do? If he's on a set, do you make sure you're home or do you go with him? Like, what do you do?
Well, the way we do it, I mean, we've been really lucky, knock on wood, where I'll work when he's not working and he'll work when I'm
on purpose,
not
though,
working.
Or it just happens that way?
Just kind of happens that way, I think. I wish I could say it was on purpose. I mean, we try to do it. Like, he won't take jobs, you know, for 10 years. He didn't take jobs out of the country so he could raise the kids and be home with the kids.
But that's what I'm talking about. That's a conscious decision. You're
it
lucky
is.
That you could do it. I know some people can't. Look, if you work and you got to be traveling,
absolutely,
it is what it is. But if you can make that choice, I think that's the kind of choice you make for your family that helps you stay together.
Well, it does, because you have to make a choice. It's a lot of work to keep a family together. It doesn't just happen. You know, you have to make the effort. You really do.
Marriage is hard. Marriage is hard. Marriage is hard.
It's hard.
Putting it on TV?
I mean, come on. You have to work at marriage. You have to go to therapy. If there is an issue that you can't reach, you get your ass in therapy. You got to do whatever it takes. It is work. You cannot, as I say, the weeds are growing. You better get out there and start weeding.
I agree 100%. I think for me, you know, I am very communicative with Terry. Well, you were on the show with me last year.
I know, I was.
You were very, very helpful.
Was I?
Yeah. I remember you told me
Tell me why.
You said you're being passive aggressive. Tell him what you need. And I'm like, no, I want to be passive aggressive. Because I want him to know. I just want him to. But you know what? It was very helpful to me because you were right. And I needed to stop being passive aggressive. I know it was childish. I knew what I was doing.
I know, but sometimes we just want to be passive aggressive.
And that's
go there. It's okay. It is.
It's okay.
But then you got to move beyond it. And you know, here's what has really helped me is I always, which is very difficult because the ego is very strong in me and in everyone, take a look at what part do you play in what's going on?
Yes.
Rather than blame, project. What am I doing that is causing this? And if you start there, it helps. And that's what I think I was saying to you. Okay, you're being passive aggressive, but let's take a look at this and like get over yourself and go talk to him and tell him what you need.
Absolutely. But thank you, because it was really helpful. And last night we got into a little argument over something. And when I woke up this morning, he was like irritated with me. and I looked at him, and even though there were parts of what happened last night that, I mean, it wasn't a big deal, but there were parts of what happened that he was wrong. It didn't matter because my reactions were just all over the map. And I thought, okay, I need to apologize because my reactions were disproportionate to what was going on.
Good.
And I thought, okay, I got to have better tools. So if I don't like what's going on in this conversation or we're having an argument, that I can like have better tools to not react.
Yeah, it's really about not reacting. I mean, and that is one of the hardest lessons to learn, is it not?
It's so hard, especially if you've had, by the way, we were out, you have a glass of champagne, it takes all the filters away. You really have to be careful. But what I think is important is knowing you're there, saying to yourself, okay, I realize I've done this, let me fix this.
Yeah, half of it is just knowledge of what you've done.
And then every once in a while, if you want to be passive aggressive, that's okay too.
It is okay, because there are times when I just want to be a bitch, okay? And I want to go to my room, and that's that. I mean, that happens.
It does.
But I always come around, because it really is about respecting each other. You have to at the end of the day. So, you know, after having my little bitch, you know, mode, whatever you call it, and, you know, bitch moment, I will always go and apologize. And so will he.
That's good. Yeah. Terry's not a huge apologizer.
He's not. Well, we could work on that.
Yeah. Could you have lunch with him?
Uh-huh. I sure can. I'm pretty influential at that at times. Yeah.
All right. So tell me about the new season of Beverly Hills. I have a question, but I want to hear like in general how, because I know you can't give me specifics, but I want to hear like the general wah of the season. But I want to know, because this was your second season.
Yeah.
So you finished your first season. It was very successful. You came off beautifully.
Wow. Thank you.
Very authentic. No, but you really did, and you held your ground, and you did
thank
what you,
you
had.
coming
to do.
From a former or from a first timer.
Yeah. No, I thought you had a great first season. So going into season two, was there a plan? Did you think I need to do this? Do I need to do that? I want to show this.
No plan.
I think that
is the best way to go about this. And Kyle Richards was really generous with me from the very beginning. She said, listen, just be your authentic self. Do not have a plan. Do not go in trying to show the world something that you want to show them because it'll backfire.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And she's right. So no, I had absolutely no plan. Say a little prayer, you know, hope that things turn out okay. And I try to just live in the moment because that's all you can do because things are coming at you. I feel like being on a reality show, like a housewife show, fastballs are being thrown at the back of your head. Mm-hmm. And you never know when you're going to be able to put your mitt up and catch it. Or is it going to hit you in the head? I mean, that's how I feel.
I agree.
I never know what's going to happen. So if I can just live in the moment, and as Harry tells me, the best thing you can do is listen, which is very hard because a lot
that's
of times—
That's an Ian Tucker thing.
It is, isn't it?
Our old acting teacher who said,
really?
Remember, always listen.
Always
you go,
listen.
Oh, right. I got to listen to the other person.
Right? Because you want to come in with what you have to say and your point of view.
Right.
He's like, just listen. Just listen. And he's so right. And sometimes I just hate it when he's that right. You know
yeah.
what I mean? You're just like, oh, you're
but it's
so
good.
Smart.
That's so funny. All right. So tell us about the season.
The season is completely different than I think from what and I've only been through it. And of course, being through it myself, I only know my side of what I saw. You don't know what's being filmed with all the other people.
Right.
You don't know what the people are saying in their interviews, blah, blah, blah.
Let's explain that for a second, because
yeah.
I think what some people at home don't realize is we don't know what anyone else is filming. So you know what you're filming and you go to these parties and you go on trips, but you don't have all the information.
No.
So it's like a Scooby-Doo mystery the entire time.
And it fucks
like
with
what,
your mind.
Totally. And you're like, what you didn't know is that Mr. Witherspoon was at Kyle's house with a candlestick.
Exactly.
You know, like, what?
And you watch the show then because they're evil geniuses and they make us write those blogs.
Oh.
And then you have to watch yourself, which I would never do as an actor. I never watch myself on television. Ever, ever, ever. So I have to sit there and watch myself. It's my way of fixing myself. I don't know. It's my plan. I don't know why. It's the worst nightmare for me to have to sit there and watch
me
myself.
Too.
I hate it.
Does Harry watch himself?
No, neither one of us watches.
Terry watches himself. Oh, no, I'm not joking. Over and over and oh, it's a joke in our house. I was periscoping him, watching himself for like the 11th time on Botch.
Yeah.
And then like 5 minutes later, I came back in and he was watching on his phone the periscope
no, he wasn't.
Of himself watching himself on Botch.
Okay, that's a doctor. That is not somebody that's an actor
right.
or in this business. That must be something else.
He loves it. I can't watch myself. I don't want to see my face at that angle.
I, oh, I hate
it. I want to hear how my voice sounds.
It's horrible. But we have to do it.
Because
right?
you have to write the damn blog.
Because you have to write the damn blog. So they're evil geniuses, as I call them. And so in watching the show, in looking back at what the show was while I filmed it, it's completely different from last season, 100%.
Okay.
Because we have two new girls.
Yeah, how are they?
They're really interesting. Really, I can't put my finger on it exactly because I'm only in certain scenes with them. I have no idea what they're like in their interviews.
Or at home.
Or what they're, you know, I can't really tell because I knew one of the girls, Catherine Edwards. I knew her like 20 some odd years ago. I used to see her out and about with OJ and that whole thing.
Right.
And she was a model.
She friends with Faye Resnick?
She is not friends with Faye Resnick at all, but there's some crossover there for sure. So I knew her and would be on like calls, auditions and things with her. She's beautiful. Say hi. How are you? Great. You know, just friendly, but have only run into her a few times over the years.
Right.
Same. Nice. Great. And then Erica Jane is somebody I did not know and was not aware of who has.
And she's like a rock star.
She is, she's so interesting, I've got to tell you. She's like two people. She's Erica Jane and she's Erica Girardi. Now, Erica Girardi is married to her husband, who's one of the biggest litigators in the entire world.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's huge, right?
Yeah.
I can barely talk. I'm in the head, on the tail end of a head cold. So just remember, I'm like.
You sound sexy. You're good.
50% here. It's probably a good thing. And so then there's Erica Girardi. There's Erica Girardi, lives in Pasadena, beautiful, gorgeous home. You'd flip your lid over her home. And then you have, like, who's the lady of the house. Then you have Erica Jane, who is the video vixen, like, rock star. Like Madonna, Britney.
Wow.
Wrapped up into one. So she's this really interesting enigma. Her tagline was brilliant. I thought it's something like, I'm an enigma wrapped in a riddle and cash.
Oh, yeah. I loved it.
Wasn't that great?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I thought all the taglines were really good. Actually.
Taglines are good this year, I think.
Yeah. They're
really
good. I thought they were
fun. So she's really interesting. She's got more money than Croesus. I mean, really. Like, she comes in.
Yeah, he's
in,
like a billionaire, isn't he?
Well, yeah. He wins billion-dollar cases.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the ka-ching, ka-ching. And he couldn't be cuter. He's really sweet.
That's
but
nice.
I just don't know enough about her. And I don't know enough about how it's going to come across. What I can tell you is the show was very authentic, very based in, you know, reality.
Right.
Nobody was doing anything to cause a reaction and to make...
Like who are we talking about?
Like maybe throwing a glass of wine in somebody's face.
For no reason.
For no reason. To try to create something to have happen.
So we're talking about branding.
Yeah, that's what... She does, I think.
I think that that's what we were talking about before. I mean, I just think that there are people on reality shows that want to keep their job. They want to be relevant.
Oh,
they
she's
need a story
honest
line.
About that.
Yeah.
You know, she's fully honest about that.
We've had that on Orange County, too. And I think that's when people start to get weeded out because the audience has a bullshit meter and they go, that's not real.
Well, and how do you explain that? You know, after
well,
something
that's the
that-
problem. Then you have to create a whole storyline that doesn't exist based on...
Why
something.
Somebody did something like that so that they could somehow save their job. So
absolutely.
We don't have that going on this year. I mean, it is easy to work off of people like that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just easy. They're like such easy game players
right.
to play with because they just give it to you on a platter.
Right.
This year, it was difficult. We had some, you know, all women that are on this show this year are very mature, very smart, very grounded, very centered. There's no like crazy. There's
I like
no
that.
Like cuckoo bird crazy, I don't think. And so you're dealing in reality.
Could it be you?
It could be me. I mean, I've already said I'm crazy. We know that. But I just feel like it's really real. And I don't know quite how that's going to come across because people are used to big explosive things happening. I will tell you that it's layered. It's like an onion. And it just gets peeled off and off and off and off. And what ends up happening, you'll never guess. You could never imagine it. I could never imagine it.
Wow.
It's so fascinating.
I love that. I feel like Orange County was like that last year, too. See, to me, that's more something I enjoy watching. And I think the audience does, too.
Well, obviously, because your ratings were higher than they've ever been, correct?
Huge. Yeah. In series history.
In series history in 10
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
I mean,
and there was no table.
Year
10. And there was no table flipping, no screaming. No. I mean, there really wasn't.
Well, that's how this season is. There's no real big, like, blow up. There's no. It's just real, like, people calling each other out big time.
What I thought was funny. It's funny. Alex Baskin from Evolution, he was calling Beverly Hills this year like Ocean's 11, like everyone's in the show.
It's so true because everyone shows up. You name it. I mean, Camille's there. Adrian's there. Brandy's there. Kim shows up at the end. I mean, it's true. It's like Ocean's 11. Like there's cameos from everybody.
That is so funny.
Yeah. So I'm really interested, just like the audience, to see how it's going to play out. And, you know, now with the added information that we have with
Yolanda, you think it's going to... Because now we'll watch it knowing that they broke up right after the season was over.
Well, so how about they announced it on the day we premiered?
Why do you think that's so?
Why do you think that's so? I'm still trying to figure that out, to be honest with you.
You have no guess?
I don't know. Ratings? I don't know. Like, why would you
announce
to take the pressure? Why? I don't know.
I have to assume that someone had the story. And they were going to run it. And so they were just trying to get ahead of it. I don't see any other reason unless she had the only thing I thought was she either had a terrible season mm-hmm. and to do damage control so that we watch it already being sad for her.
Right.
Like if you knew you had a terrible season and everyone was going to hate you or something and then you're getting divorced, you're like, okay, I'm going to tell everyone I'm getting divorced. So now they're going to watch it. They're going to feel bad for me the whole season. They won't be that mad at me.
I don't know. I find it really, we're trying to figure that out. I think it's a real interesting choice, to be honest, that you would announce this on the day that we premiere.
I just don't get it.
I don't get that, to be honest with you. I mean, it's none of my fucking business. I know that. But she...
Well, if you're going to put a press release out, I kind of feel like it's everyone's business, no?
I guess it is, isn't it? I don't know. I mean, it's none of my business when they release it, I guess is what I'm saying. I mean, it's not really my business what day you choose to release it, but I'm just like...
But that's a calculated thing. That's like a
really?
A publicist thing, don't
like,
you think?
I guess. I hope so, because I'm like, really? You're going to announce it on the day that we're premiering? And then it just throws us all for... Like, I was really thrown for a loop yesterday, as I'm sure everybody was.
Did it put a damper on the premiere for you?
No.
And that's okay.
Nothing puts a damper. I mean, it made me sad.
The happiest people I know. No, I'm totally.
I'm happy, but
can I ask you this? What do you think for you? What is the best thing about being on reality TV?
The best thing for me, I think, is that people get to really see who I am. Whether that's good or not, I don't know. Good or bad, I like people knowing my authentic who I am really, because all they know me as is the characters that I've played. So I think it's really cool for people to see how I operate with my family, with my children. I think that there's something really nice about being able to be open and vulnerable and show that side. I've always loved that. I've always loved doing live television, doing talk shows. You know, I love that. Yeah. So that's what I love about it. I love that the hours are so much better than
acting.
Are you kidding me?
15 hours on a set? No, thank you.
Sitting in a trailer? No, thank you. Harry's been working these jobs where he is working 20 hours a day. He's sitting in a trailer. People don't know their lines. People are not prepared. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Then that's a good thing. There's no script to learn.
Nothing. I love it. I mean, I have to be honest. I love being able to just play. It's like improv to me.
Yeah.
It's like you never know what's going to happen. I can say whatever I want. And I do love that about it. I mean, it's very hard for me to want to go back to a set and play a character unless it's something really great.
Yeah. It's funny. Terry had said, showed me a scene from Orange County before I finally agreed to do the thing after he signed the contract. And he showed me the scene where Tam is throwing wine on Gina Keo and this whole like crazy scene. And I started laughing. He's like, why are you laughing? I go, oh, because I get it. It's a satire. It's a Christopher Guest movie. I can do that.
Well, it can be at times.
I
mean, really, it's improv. It really is. And for an actor, I think that's really fun.
It is fun, but it's fun when you're playing with authentic people. It's not fun when you're playing with someone who's got an agenda.
No, it's not.
Because then you have no idea. It doesn't move in a fluid, organic way.
I know. Doesn't that make you mad?
Totally. Because you can't do that.
You can't. No. And it's kind of an inside thing that we're talking about. But people do come in thinking, okay, I'm going to act like this. And
yes,
I want to come across like this. And maybe that's calculated and manipulative, and maybe we aren't really seeing who you really are.
But you know, you can't hide who you are forever. You can have a good year or a bad year, but your innate personality and your core always comes out. The truth always comes out.
I always say that. The truth always comes out. I don't care what you do. The truth always comes out.
Okay, the other good thing about being on a reality show that I think you're doing this brilliantly, is that it's an amazing platform.
Yes, it is a great platform, because I always say you need to be on television so that all the ancillary things can come in. I need to have real estate on television, and then I can do another kajillion other things. It's true.
It's so true. So have you seen a bump in – you have a very successful clothing line.
Thank you.
You're on QVC.
QVC, yes.
So you have a very successful clothing line on QVC for a lot of years now.
Yes, we're going into year 5. So I know what you're going to ask. Have I seen a bump yet?
Yeah.
I can't tell, because luckily, fortunately, we went into it and it was really, really successful right off the bat. So it'll be interesting to see going into my second year, you know, if we see a big bump. It's just, it's one of those things where we make clothes and we sell them out. It's just been one of those really interesting things that happens that works.
I love that.
And so I can't really tell, to be honest with you.
Did you put it on the show this season?
We did. Finally.
Well, let me tell you, my friend.
So now we'll be able to
see. You're going to get a bump.
Yay. Yes, we finally get to see it, and I'm really excited about it. Yeah, I go, and they come with me. So it'll be really fun, because it's a big part of my life. I go once a month. As you know, you're doing your Evine.
Oh, yeah. We're in Minnesota once a month.
Yep, and I'm in Pennsylvania once a month. So it's a big part of my life. And I was like, guys, we have to show this. This is what I do. I design the clothes. I am hands-on.
Oh, yeah, us
you
too.
Know.
And that's the other thing. And I think the reason why you will get a bump, and the reason why I think our Consult Beauty launched so huge, is because it's authentic. You know, Terry and I have been working on skincare for 15 years. You've been doing clothes a long time. I remember your store, Belle Gray.
For 10 years.
On Ventura,
yes,
right?
Yes.
You've always done fashion. It's
yes,
who you are.
It is.
And that's why it works. And that's why you're going to see the bump. It's when people come in and they go, okay, I'm on a show, so I'm going to monetize it. Let me sell a purse and a hat and a scarf and a glove and a phone and a microphone and a... You can't do that.
No, it comes from an authentic place. And if it's passionate, if you're passionate about it and you know, like I've had my hands in every aspect of this business, like I live and breathe it and I know what it takes to make it work.
Love
and
that.
I know what I love. And same with you. You know, you bring what you want to share with people.
Absolutely. All right. So we know what's positive. What's the worst thing about being on reality TV?
The worst thing is the emotional. It's emotional. It's because I can't drop it at the end of the day. To me, it is emotionally raping at times. That's a really strong way to put it.
No, I get that.
But do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, you're dealing with real people in real situations and real friendships. And I find that, you know, for me, I don't like to be confrontational, yet I'm on a show where you need to confront people and you need to say how you feel.
We have to have an opinion. That's the thing, is that it's very hard when people are like, why are you talking about this? Because you have to have an opinion.
You have to think out loud.
Yeah.
Which I'm taught not to. And then all of a sudden you have to think out loud and you're like, oh, I don't want to think out loud. So I find it emotionally very difficult to just like let it go at the end of the day. An acting job, I could come home. I could somewhat just drop the character and let it go.
Yeah.
I can't let this go.
No, because it's personal.
Because it's personal. And that's where it's a mind fuck. We call it a mind fuck. It really is.
It is.
Because you cannot drop it. And I want to say, yes, we are doing a TV show. Yes, we are. But these are people that I have close personal feelings and relationships with.
Yep.
And I don't know where to put the two. That's what's hard.
And then, like you're talking about it being an onion, I always say it's like a Venn diagram, like the circles that intersect.
Because
you've got reality and what you film and what's in the middle there.
And then what you don't film.
And what you don't film. And what they talk about in their interviews. And what you talk about in your interviews. And the way you're asked questions, which makes you believe that the story is being told in a certain way, and it's not. And they change gears, and you don't know. And then you start reading everyone's blogs, and you don't want to write your blog. And so-and-so won't write her blog till she reads everyone else's blog, so she could rebut everyone else's blog. Right?
You just said it in a nutshell. It's crazy making.
It can make you insane.
It can make you insane.
Does Harry get that? Because Terry sometimes is like, you got to shut it off.
Well, yeah. No, Harry is like, it's a TV show, sweetie.
Let it go, sister.
That's Harry. Harry is an actor. And he's like, honey, you're doing a TV show. Shut it down now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But I can't. It's hard.
You can't. And you know what? You can't, because if you shut it down, you're not in the moment anymore. And if you're not invested in what's going on, then you can't react.
Of course. And then you got the damn reunion at the end where you have to be all ready to go and prepared. And if you're not following along, you would have no idea where the season went and what to do. It is a crazy job.
And that's why we also have to watch the show, because we need to know what everyone else films. I hate watching myself.
I hate it. And you get that. We get it, you know, 5 days before.
Oh, and then you got to binge watch yourself. That's the worst. The last 4 or 5 episodes.
Oh.
The pain.
If somebody had told me this, like, I knew nothing before I signed on, really.
To me, that's like Terry's best day ever. When they do a botched marathon, it's like his favorite day.
I bet it is. Does he just sit there and watch himself all day long?
Yes.
My kids love that show more than anything, you know.
Oh, I know.
How scary is that? I love your husband, but my children, who are 17 and 14, are addicted to botched. So, that's a problem.
It's so funny. So we were at an event, what, a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
A month ago, at the Elizabeth Glaser Pediatric AIDS Foundation. And Lisa's girls see Terry and they're like, oh my God.
Seriously. Like, they fanned out. They didn't care who else was at this event. The minute I said Terry and Brett was going to be there, they were screaming in the back of the car. How funny is that?
It's so funny.
I mean, they just love him, and they love Paul, and they love the show.
Isn't that great?
It is great. It really is. I mean, I'm hoping that they will learn about, you know, just having me as a mother. They'll learn, like, what to do and what not to do.
Yeah.
How about what not to do?
Well, you know what? It's hard. It's hard. You know, we're in the public eye. I'm married to a plastic surgeon. You know,
how do your kids handle it? I mean, they're still young.
My kids are very aware of what daddy does. How do they handle the fame?
That he's a plastic surgeon. And
oh,
what is
it's
it?
Just normal. Daddy's a booby doctor. That's what they think.
And he changes people's faces and their bodies.
Yeah, but you know what's been interesting about botched is that, you know, Terry was a board-certified general surgeon before plastics, which is kind of the classic way to become a plastic surgeon. So he was cracking chests in the ER, you know, and then went into reconstructive plastic surgery and then plastic surgery. And then, so he went from really like saving lives to working with people who, you know, think that one eye is a millimeter lower than, and I think that he got to a point where he was bored. And you know what it's like to see your partner in a rut, not happy. And I know I've been there in my career too. And he, you know, we've done this with each other. I was worried for him because I thought, you know, maybe he needs something else. He started doing legal medical defense work. He does a ton of it. I think he's like the number three guy in Southern California, or number two guy. He loves it. He loves reading the law. They give him a box of briefs and he's like, and like loves.
How interesting.
Because he's so smart and he loves to learn, but he was getting bored. And when he started on Botched, even though I joke about him loving the fame, because he does, honestly.
I love that he loves it, and I love that he cops to it.
He loves it. He's a doctor. I get it. He loves it. Okay. Yeah. But what I love for me seeing him as his wife is that it reinvigorated him and he's helping people and he feels like he's doing something so incredibly worthy that, okay, I'll make fun of him all I want. Let him be a fame whore. It's fine. Let him watch the Botched Marathon. He loves what he's doing and makes him a better husband, better dad, better doctor.
Amen.
And I love that.
Amen. Happy husband, happy life. I mean, it's always happy wife, happy life, but I think it's happy husband. They need to be working. They need to be doing what they love, bringing home the bacon, fulfilling that, you know, hunter thing in them.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think what's hard about, for me, one of the bad things about reality TV is really having to be accountable for every single thing that comes out of your mouth. Because I know you and me, like, we could be very sarcastic. I can drop some F-bombs and that kind of thing. But we could be sarcastic. I can say something I think is funny that maybe no one else thinks is funny, or, you know, whatever. It's, everyone says regrettable things. Everyone says stupid things. And there it is. It's on TV.
Yep.
They can use it any way they want.
Oh, yeah. And you do have to be accountable. And if you're wrong and you've said something and you've hurt someone, you have to apologize.
Oh,
you have to own it. And you have to go to them and say, and that's difficult. But, you know, that has really helped me in a lot of ways. I mean, I will say the good news about this show is it's given me my voice. It's given me permission to have my voice, to say how I feel. And it's also created a monster in a sense because now I tell everyone. But, you know, truly.
Harry's like, hold it in, Lisa.
Don't say it.
Keep it inside.
But there's also a part of me that has, it's made it easier for me to go and cop to something that I have said behind somebody's back or done something that hasn't been right and be able to go to them and say, you know what, I fucked up, I'm an asshole, whatever, and I'm sorry.
Well, I think that's good. I think that's turning it into something positive. I don't like the notion, this hasn't happened to me, but I don't like the notion that someone can make something up about you.
Well, I don't like that notion. That, to me, is the worst, and that's happened to us and me on the show a couple times now, and to me, that's the worst part of reality television because they can lie and they can make it up, and it goes out into the universe, and once it's out into the universe, the bell has been rung.
That's
doesn't
right.
matter. You can't prove a negative.
If someone spreads a negative rumor about you, if someone says, you know, oh, so-and-so's, you know, a racist or something terrible, you know what? Even if it's 100% not true, like you're saying, it's floating out there already for the entire world, and there will be a faction of people that no matter what you say, even if you could prove it's not true, that will believe it.
You can't prove a negative. And that's what I think is dangerous about these shows, because the girls that are the most desperate are the ones that throw this stuff out there.
Yes.
And it's dangerous. And I really have a hard time with it, to be honest with you. I just never expected it. And once it does happen to you or to someone that you care about, you really just go, that should not be okay.
I agree. I totally agree. All right. I'm wishing you a fabulous season, but before we go, I want to know what is coming up for you. What are you doing? What's on the horizon? Because now, you know, people don't realize, but we film for months and months and months and months and months, and then you get a mini break.
You get a month break. It's about a month.
Yeah. And then you do the reunion, and then you get a breather for like 3 months till you start filming again.
Right.
So what's on the horizon? What are you doing?
Well, since we had a little mini break and now the show's airing, that takes on a whole nother life of its own.
True.
So, you know, I'm back on QVC in January. We're off for the holidays because, you know, they sell like ornaments.
What's your dates?
I don't know my dates yet.
Okay, you give them to me.
I know
them on my website.
February 5th and February 15th for sure, but I know there's dates in January, but that's when we start up. Our season is like January through October.
Okay.
So big, you know, QVC. And then, you know, I got a talk show.
I heard. Heather McDonald was here.
Ah!
And she was saying that she lost the part to you.
I swear to God, we went in on this thing. I went in six times.
Wow.
I auditioned my little tush off six times, and Heather was right down there. We were in the final. You know, there was going to be one white girl. yeah. to be honest.
Isn't
That's
it amazing
what she says.
How it comes down to yeah. that?
It was really going to be one white girl.
So who else is on the show?
It's a really interesting cast. It's male and female, so it's a panel show, and it's myself. It's Scott Wolf, the actor.
Oh, I like Scott.
Cute Scott
yeah,
Wolf.
Yeah, he's cute. Party of Five.
Party of Five, and he's 43, and he looks 23 still. He's fabulous. He's really great. And then a comedian named Al Jackson.
Okay.
African-American, and then Khalees, the singer.
I don't know her.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, yeah. and they're right, it's better than yours.
Do you know what she'll we sing in the car? Mashed potato. The Wiggles. I got a four-year-old.
All right, so it's a different vibe, but that's how you know Khalees, and it is this crazy, like, we are a motley crew. You wouldn't even put us on a jury. You would not pick us for a jury, us four.
I'm so excited for you. When does that come out?
Well, I don't know exactly. We're going to shoot the pilot in January, okay. and it's one of those things. It's for NBC.
Cool.
And, you know, we'll see. It has to get picked up and all of those things, but at least we're shooting a pilot.
That's
and
awesome.
Khalees was pregnant, and she just had her baby, so we had to wait till the baby was born, and the baby's been born. Congratulations to Baby Shepherd. And it's just going to be fun because, you know, I love to talk. I mean, it's like the perfect, and it's pop culture. It is a pop culture panel show. What do I love more than fashion? Pop culture.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I like died and went to heaven. I tested for this thing with so many different people, and it was the most fun. And I'll tell you what, without doing The Housewives, I probably would not have gotten this show.
It's interesting that you say that, because I always say that when I joined the show, and I was telling you before that I thought it was going to be the final nail in the coffin that had been my career, and it really invigorated things.
Isn't it amazing?
Terry always says, I'm curious to see what you think about this. Terry says, don't you like being known for yourself more than your characters? Because he thinks that's so much cooler, that people like you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What do you think?
Well, I like both.
Me too. Well, that's what I said. Because I said, well, I like people knowing me for my work. Because
yeah.
for me, you know, I took a break. You know, I had like four kids in 7 years. So, like, there's a lot of people that saw me on Housewives that didn't know any of my Heather Page Kent work.
Yeah.
So for me, it was like a whole separate ballgame. For you, it was like a very smooth transition.
Well, I like it. I mean, I like people coming up to me and talking to me about Billy Reid and Taylor McBride from Melrose Place. I love that. So I can't say either one. I like all attention. I have a little bit of Terry Dubrow in me, or actually a lot. I do. I'm a fame whore. I mean, we all know it.
Okay,
I
so
am.
We know that Lisa's going to be sitting at home watching the marathon.
Well, that not of
Beverly
myself.
Hills.
I like to be a fame whore without knowing I'm a fame whore. I'm a fame whore without watching myself. How about that? Like, I've never even Googled myself.
Really?
Nor would I dare. No, I wouldn't dare.
I don't Google myself either, but I would.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Maybe
think
you
of it.
Should. I don't want to ever.
Why don't we do each other?
Mm. I'll do. Okay.
Let me know how I'm doing.
That sounds so sexy.
I adore you. I'm thrilled for you. I hope you have the most fabulous season.
And I'm thrilled for you. Congrats on your skincare line. It's huge already. So bravo to you.
Thank you very much. We're having a lot of fun. We have a lot of stuff going on. It's fun. And I hope that I get
and
to
is your,
see
wait,
you
is your house done? When do I get to come to the house?
Oh, yeah, you're going to come to the house. We're going to have, we are actually, I think the first party we're going to do in the house is the launch of our book.
I'd like to see this house because I want to see if that tree window went in. Remember?
It's going in. What's the date?
On December 8th.
It's going in on December 8th.
Okay.
I'm going to take a picture and text it to you.
Because that's our conversation.
Yes.
Was the tree window.
Oh, it went in, sister.
Okay, sister. I need to see where this tree window went in. And I want to bring Harry down to show him the house.
Let me know when you're free. I would love to have you down.
Okay, we're coming. I invited myself.
I love it.
I want to see the tree in the mirror in the window.
I love it, and I love you. Everyone,
love you.
Lisa Rinna.
Thanks, babe.
There's a great new show here on the Podcast One Network, and right now I'm going to tell you all about them because they're doing the same for this podcast. That way, we become one big, happy family. The show is called Fempire, like an empire run by females. And these crazy females just happen to be young, attractive, intelligent, well-spoken, and addicted to all the crazy things that happen every day in the reality and entertainment Twitter sphere where we all now live. Kelty Knight, Becca Tobin, and Jack Vanek are all over the rumor mill. Take your questions, give some questionable advice, and always toss back a bottle of champs or fine wine while making podcast history. So don't miss Fempire. New episodes every Tuesday. Subscribe at iTunes now or catch all the action at podcastone.com.
Now back to Heather Dubrow's world.
Isn't she fun?
She's so fun. She's exactly what I pictured.
Yeah, she's very authentic.
Very cute.
Love her. Okay, so what do we have this week for Dear Heather?
Okay, here we go. So, Dear Heather, what do you want for Christmas?
Oh, good question. Okay, let me go through health, world peace.
Okay, all the things.
Okay,
yes.
So pretending we've said all those things, which I do want.
Yeah.
Like what physical gift do I want? You know what? I like to be surprised. I think as a mom, I plan everything. I plan everyone's birthdays. I plan every holiday. I plan all the celebrations. And I usually plan my own birthday and the whole thing. I just think it would be nice to be surprised.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Yeah, because I think, I mean, honestly, I'm very, very grateful for everything that we have. There's really nothing I need. There's nothing I want. I want my kids to have a fabulous holiday. I want a lot of family time. But when it comes to the actual physical gift.
Like the material.
The material thing, I don't really care. I just want Terry, because I'm assuming we're talking about what Terry's going to get me. I just want Terry to care, think about it, and give me something that he loves or that's important to him to give to me, or that he wants me to have something thoughtful, not just like, oh, I got to get her something. Let me run to the mall.
Right. Because if he, you know, thinks you'll love it, then that's what matters.
Absolutely.
Right? All right. I like that. I hope he's listening again. Okay. Next.
Or the Chanel boyfriend. Oh.
I knew there was something. Oh, okay. Here's another one that has been asked quite often. There are many stories about a caste lockdown on The Real Housewives of Orange County. Is this true?
That is a very good question. Yeah, I mean, we were all told to stop talking about the season. I feel like they've told us that before, but Tamara said that's not true. But I sort of feel like every year when the season is over and the reunion's over and, you know, the dust settles, you know, they don't want us talking about the show because obviously, we're going to go into the next season and they want to save it for the next season. So any issues that are outstanding, they want to resolve it on camera so that the audience can see it and be a part of it. I absolutely understand that. But apparently the lockdown doesn't, you know, apply to Vicky because she went on Extra or whatever she went on and went on Andy Cohen and had a one-on-one with Andy Cohen and all of that. So I'm not really sure who the lockdown was for or how locked down we are, but yeah, we heard something about that.
Oh, goodness gracious. Okay, here we go. Next one. If you were stranded on a deserted island, what three items would you bring and with whom would you like to be stranded with besides the awesome Terry Dubrow?
Okay, if I couldn't have Terry or the kids, I'm assuming, Natalie, I would take you.
Oh, why, thank you.
Because I'm thinking, you're so amazing with everything you do, you could probably get us off the island.
I'd make a raft. I'd figure it out.
You'd be on the phone. You'd find someone. So I would bring you.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And I love you, and you're a fabulous girl.
Love
so
me too.
We'd have a lot of fun together. Yeah. Okay, so I'd bring you on the island, and then my three items would be champagne.
Yes, clearly.
I would think some kind of radio because I like music.
Just bring your phone.
Yeah. Okay. So my phone, because that kind of encompasses a lot.
Yeah.
And double stuff Oreos.
So you'd just be fat and drunk and
But I'd be
on your phone.
But I'd just be with you. It would be fine.
I know. That's why. It doesn't matter.
You could just text people and send them. I could Photoshop pictures and look fabulous. It would be absolutely fun.
I love that idea. Can we do that now? Or
totally.
Yeah. Okay, last question is, Heather, your life has fallen together for you so nicely. You have it all. What is your number one goal for the future, and what is your number one regret?
Oh, wow. That's a, let me think about that. I would say my number one regret is that there aren't more hours in the day. Because I love being with my children. I love working. I love spending time with my husband. I love going to the gym. I love eating dinner. I mean, there's so much to love out of life that there just aren't enough hours in the day. And it's hard. I think, you know, working moms, stay-at-home moms, it doesn't matter. You know, you go do something for a few hours, you feel guilty. I regret that there aren't more hours in the day. I don't regret decisions I've made because even if I don't agree with decisions I made in the past, they're part of the fiber of who I've become and what my choices are for the future. So I have to accept that. But I would say just time. And my goal for the future is just to keep moving forward. I don't like standing still and being stuck in a rut. I don't like being bored. I like being creative. I like using my brain. I love to talk to people. And that's why I've been loving this podcast. And I love learning things. And, you know, it's funny, when I'm wrong on Twitter or on the show or something, mm-hmm. people call me out on it. I love it. It doesn't make me feel bad, because if I'm wrong, I want to know.
Right. Yeah.
And that's why I like talking about things. It's not because I want to be a know-it-all. It's because...
Which is great. That's how you grow.
That's how you grow. Yeah. And if you don't know about something, I want to tell you. And if I don't know about something, you tell me and let's look it up and let's figure it out. I love doing that with the kids. So... my goal is to keep moving forward, keep being creative, and absolutely having the most fun I can out of life.
Aw, beautifully said.
Well, that's our show. That was so fun.
So much fun.
I love being here every week with all of you. I love getting your questions. I love getting your comments and your reviews. So go to iTunes, subscribe to Heather Dubrow's World, leave me a review. I want to hear from you. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Heather Dubrow, and check out my website, heatherdubrow.com, for any updates on appearances and pictures and what the Dubrows are up to next, and updates on our book and when we're going to be in Minnesota again with Consult Beauty and all kinds of fun stuff. Hope you're all well, and we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Heather Dubrow's World. Download new episodes every Tuesday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.